Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. I just want to welcome you to the first show of this new year, and let's just take a moment and focus on the Lord and ask Him to clarify for each one of us as individuals if there is something He wants to talk to us about for the coming year. Maybe He may want to, He may have already done that, or there may be nothing special about a year change for you, but let's just take a moment and ask the Lord. First, we're going to come against all interference, foreign or domestic, legal or illegal. You cannot interfere in any way, shape, or form with what the Lord wants to say or do in this time. For myself, for my house, and for all those listening, for their houses, for their families, you can't interfere with what the Lord is going to do in their lives. And if you have a legal right to be here, Lord, we ask that you make that clear and teach us how to overcome those legal interferences, those legal obstructions. So, Lord, we ask you right now to just make it clear to each one of us, put the thought, the words, the picture, the song, the emotions that will lead us to clarify any goals or obstruction or direction that you want to give us for this year. And we're just going to give you a few seconds right now. And you at home, you can just stop the tape right here. If you're listening to it, and just take some more time if you need it, and just write down. Now, very often, God just wants to speak so simply, and we're expecting a novel, and He just wants to give us three or four words. So very often, if it takes longer than just a few seconds, it's probably not Him. And over time, we're going to learn how to deal with these interferences. But Lord, put that on our heart. Give us the tools we're going to need to accomplish, to follow through, whether it's reminder or teach us how to take what you say seriously. Lord, you have so much you want to accomplish in us and through us. And we give you permission to do that. We give you the permission to accomplish in us and through us that which you have set aside for this coming season. And we are not going to be constrained by our past, and we are not going to be constrained with where we are now. We're willing to put time aside and live in the ever-present now. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing clarity to each one of us for this time and this season. So we've been talking about how to spend more time with God, how to hear from Him more clearly. And I can pretty much guarantee that any problem you've got is going to be clarified, resolved by spending more time with God. Now, sometimes we spend more time with God and don't get an answer because we've already got the answer. But we don't like the answer, so we try to find a way to avoid that answer and find something else we need to do. So that's always a consideration. But other than that, other than using God as a way to avoid making changes or decisions, If you don't know what change or decision you needs to be made, spend more time with God. If you have a wound, spend more time with God. If you have relational or financial even, or health issues, spend more time with God. Now, He may or may not reveal to you the solution to all your problems, but He will change you. He will start working in you what it is that needs to change in order for you to receive direction or guidance or encouragement, whatever it is you need. So spending time with Him, getting to know Him, getting to find out objectively who God is, how He thinks, what He thinks about you, and having that confidence that you know how to hear from Him and what to do with what you hear. God does not want us ignorant. He does not want us guessing. God is a real God. And He wants us to know Him really. Now, each one of us, we're spirit, soul, and body. And here on this earth, we know each other mainly physically and soulically. But God knows us spiritually and soulically and naturally. So we can be closer to God. We can know Him more fully than any person or thing, any relationship we have with another human on this earth. And He satisfies. Only God satisfies. Now, and I'm not talking about ministry, and I'm not talking about worshiping Him or any of the things about Him, but being with Him, relating with Him, being one with Him. Now, as He makes this real to us, this is where we'll have some choices to make. And your choices are going to be different than mine. But what we find out is so many of the things we believe, our doctrines, our theology, who we hang out with, is determined for other reasons than because it's God's truth. And change is hard. For most of us, it's real hard. And God isn't necessarily going to make it easier. He is not at all constrained by the difficulty of the task. He encourages us to think of ourselves as being able to move mountains, literally and figuratively. Us, not Him, not praying to Him to do it. So it's not that we are to be thinking of ourselves as so inadequate. Instead, He wants us to think of ourselves accurately, objectively. We are all wounded in our soul. We are all in the process of relearning, of change, of our soul being aligned to our spirit. We're all in that process. In our spirit, the work is done. Who you truly are, the work is done. God has already fully received you as you are in your spirit. So He does not hold against you anything regarding your soul or your body. And again, God makes this real to us. Just learning things, all that very often does, again, it gives us the opportunity to pick and choose what part of a particular teaching fits in with to maintain control. And that's really the name of the game for our soul, is to maintain control, even try to control God, which, you know what, he knows you're doing that, so don't worry about it. He will deal with that, with your soul doing its thing in his own time and in his own way. You can rest assured that that will happen. But what can we do? What can we do to engage with God, to bring our soul and our body into alignment with our spirit? Is there anything? We often turn to church, to doing certain things at certain times, and then we've got those things done, worshiping, a prayer, you know, women's Bible study or a prayer circle or committing to, you know, Sunday school or whatever. And okay, we've done that, we're done. We can check that off our list. We have served God and we've done our part. But God doesn't want servants. He wants sons. And a son is not a son by what he does or how often he does it. A son is a son by birth, by character, by identity. And you and I are sons. If we have been born again, re-inspirited, we are sons. And you are joint heirs with Christ and co-inheritors with him. In other words, everything that Jesus has received from his Father, that he has inherited, that is his right, his birthright, it is also our birthright. You are entitled to that relationship. And you already have it in your spirit. And this is where we run into misunderstandings. We're not talking about your soul. We're not talking about your body. Odds are your soul and your body have a ways to go before they can partake in those rights of sonship with God. And that's what we're here on this earth for. And my approach is that the more we can take advantage of every opportunity that God has placed in our lives, which is all our circumstances, the faster we can fully enjoy being a son of God. One of our main, the two-edged sword of time, we can use time against ourselves or for us. And when we can start looking at it as a tool rather than a trap, it can be an enemy but can also be a friend, because we can control it. We can decide what we do with it. You have authority over your time. And you have authority over your past, your present, your future. You can decide how you spend it. Right there proves you have the authority over your time. How powerful you are. This is the last program we start to talk about how we start with time to come to know God, to develop a strategy to know God, and it deals with time. And we started talking about, for a weekly basis, setting aside specific amount of time And again, we're going to practice, which is another time word, learning to wait, which is another time word. Learning is over time. We have knowledge over time. To wait, another time word. So we're going to practice learning to wait 20 minutes, five times a week, and 2 hours twice a week. Look at all the time words. Again, we're learning to exercise authority over our time. And we talked about how the ultimate goal will be to maintain a constant, perpetual restful waiting on the Lord while still engaged in normal everyday activities. As you spend time, you will develop the habit and your soul will begin to learn how to maintain an ever-present watchfulness and focus on the Lord, gentle and unassuming. Nobody else needs to know that you're in constant communion with the Lord. It becomes just like your heart is beating. You don't stop and think, okay, I need to make sure my heart's beating. You know it's beating. And as you reattach, as your soul is reattached to your spirit draws your soul into that connection. And the more time you spend, the more you are cooperating with the spirit to draw your soul into oneness. So you are then not only drawn as a being, spirit, soul, and body, but also the circumstances you've wrestled with come into alignment under your authority. So we want to be occupied with living this life here on this earth, but not preoccupied and distracted away from the oneness of resting in Him. So whatever your time frame is, the 20 minutes five times a day, five times a week, and 2 hours twice a week, that's just some numbers thrown out there. You decide what's best for you. You ask God about that, and you find out from Him what is going to work for you. Some people have, each day, have a lot more time than that, and some don't even have that much. And God knows that. Go ahead and commit to what your schedule will allow and what God says is okay in your circumstance or situation. Now, I have been able to, by experience, just see that usually 20 minutes is the minimum at a time, is a minimum amount of time in order for your body to come to rest and for your soul to start reaching out to God. So if at all possible, have 20 minutes be a minimum amount. And it might even be interesting to do some experimenting to see if going from 20 minutes to 10, say, if you notice a difference. And then go from 20 minutes to 30, and you'll eventually start to really see a difference. The longer you go, the more you'll see a difference. Not necessarily when you're doing it, you start seeing changes in your week, in your month, in your year. The more time you spend with Him, the more He conforms you to your true spirit nature. It's not by your effort. He may or may not reveal to you what it is He's doing, but you can look back yesterday, last week, last month, last year, and see the changes that He's done in your life. How you're not as angry as you used to be, or how you're more tolerant of things you don't agree with, or how you're looking forward to your future, or how you're willing to forgive people you didn't think you would ever be able to forgive. All without him, maybe not even saying a single word to you, because he makes the changes. So you decide on a specific amount of time. Next, you set aside a separate time apart from study, prayer, or healing. This is just for waiting. This time is dedicated to the purpose of making yourself available to the Lord for his purposes. When you value time spent with him, God appreciates that. And then when you start sacrificing for more time with him, he values that more. Draws him through your spirit to align your soul. When we welcome him, God wants to be wanted. When we welcome him by making ourselves available to him, he takes us up on that welcome. Your focus will still be on being before him, just available, not hearing. You know, not trying to hear from him, not trying to get any revelation or experience or learning something or even guidance or answer to a question or receiving from him, but simply being present with him. So for this time, distinguish it from other times you may have set aside with him for those purposes. It's fine if you have set aside time for healing, for guidance, for learning. But this time is just to be with him, just to be available, to let him be the God, and let him know, let him have the opportunity to move through your spirit onto your soul and even your body without interference. You're just giving him an opportunity. You're just being available. You're acknowledging that you are in his presence, that he is there, and you're accepting anything he wants to do, whether you know about it or not. Then you'll want to pick a time of day. And again, we're still dealing with time, aren't we? Your personal schedule will contribute to your decisions regarding when to spend time waiting on the Lord. Now, there seems to be something particularly effective to waiting on the Lord in the mornings. And sometimes, and we'll talk about this later, he may even start waking you up in the middle of the night to wait on him, so he has your undivided attention. And in the mornings, perhaps it's so beneficial because the cares of the day have not entered into our mind, into our will or our emotions. We're still peaceful. But it's often the best time to be open to his encouragement, his pouring himself into us, and even instructions for the day. And we can get the mindset, we can set our whole soul that we are starting fresh, that today we are going to be there with the Lord, that he is going with us, and we are spending our day with him. Now, this is a good thing to learn regardless. that any moment when you're struggling with something and the Lord brings your attention, say you had a bad meeting, or somebody yelled at you, or you made a mistake, and the Lord tries to draw your attention, we're learning to respond to his drawing and let him speak to you and start fresh again. Start your day brand new every moment. Because again, guess what? We have authority over time. And you can have a morning at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The more we do this, the more we begin to live as a spirit being. Now, some of the things that's going to happen as we do this is it does start to change our perception of who we are and how we make plans and how we structure our lives. And that's great. As you start to change your mindset about who God created you to be, that you do have this authority. And time is just one aspect of the elements that are here on this earth that we are here to overcome. There's also things like peer pressure, just the circumstances you are living in. God placed you in whatever circumstance you're in, whatever country, whatever body you're in, those are all parts of this earth that he wants you to learn by depending on him, by being taught by him to overcome. Not to stop being in the country you're in, body you're in, but that the country you're in or the body you're in does not constrain you from being a spirit being, that wherever and whoever and however you are, you can be one in him. He is no respecter of persons. This is why we know he could care less about the mistakes we've made or the mistakes of our family, those previous. We can't blame or give credit to those who came before us because God chose for them as well. As we spend more time with him, we start to see things from his perspective. Now, one of the things that some of you have already started to see is that a separation may start to happen. You will be drawn more and more to those who believe like you because that's where life is. Being in God is where life is. That doesn't mean you separate yourselves, but just understand it's better to draw them with you, if at all possible, if they're interested, than to leave what God is drawing you to just so you can stay with them. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again next Sunday at the same time. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.